coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. I'm Corey Labounty. The big guy, Rick Cleveland, is on assignment, enjoying himself. And joining me in studio is Coach Mark Lassiter, Dalton running the board, Philip running the phone lines this morning. High school athletics, it's summertime, but I tell you what, folks, there is plenty going on in the world of high school athletics this busy summertime. We hope everyone enjoys a happy 4th of July coming up this Wednesday, and just want to go ahead and tell everybody to make sure they stay cool. Thanks for tuning in on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, WYEA 106.5 and on 105.1 The Lake, always tuned in, joining us each and every Saturday morning. And coming up here right out of the chute, there's a big 7-on-7 tournament going down in Foley, and we're going to try to effort to get Thompson head coach Mark Freeman on the line with us this morning to talk about the 7-on-7 competition that started yesterday. A few big names not here participating in it because there's the opening, which is a quarterback camp that's going on in Dallas, have a couple of players that are in it right now. So with that being said, play started on yesterday. You have the St. Paul's injunction ruling that came down this week, in which the federal judge went ahead and ruled St. Paul's would not be able to, I guess essentially is what I want to say is, the correct way to say it is, St. Paul's will have to play 6A competition. I guess that's the biggest thing and the biggest ruling that came out from Judge William Steele. Also, we'll have Christian Swears from Huntsville High School, the new basketball coach there, will be joining us to talk about the Huntsville City Classic. You have a couple of coaches, Rusty Funk out. We have a couple of new coaches in. We'll be talking a little girls softball. Also, you know, with everything that's going on with the 7-on-7 tournament down in Foley, it's going to be real interesting to see, Mark, and all this heat. They're getting ready to get started at 9 o'clock this morning, so we look forward to talking to Coach Freeman this morning about that.
Absolutely. It is hot, and, you know, that's all you hear. Everybody talks about how hot it is and the humidity to go along with it. And the biggest thing is, you know, we have to – everybody has to do – is to make sure our kids are hydrated and our coaches are hydrated. I mean, it's just, you cannot get enough water, in my opinion, this summer. And so whatever y'all are doing outside, whether it's cutting the grass or whatever, but those guys playing 7-on-7 this morning, right now they're not worried about hydration. They're just worried about playing ball. But they're going to be hydrated, as they do a great job down there at Foley, making sure everybody's taken care of.
And joining us right now on the Premier Motorsports Communication Line is the head coach at Thompson High School, former head coach at Spanish Fort and Gulf Shores here along the Gulf Coast, Mark Freeman. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, you guys, man. How y'all doing?
Mark, doing great, buddy. It's great to hear your voice. How you been, pal?
Man, I've been blessed. Mark, it's great to hear your voice, too, and hope you guys are doing well.
Yes, sir. Doing great. Doing great.
Coach, yesterday you got started. You played a couple of games. In 7-on-7 format, you just have your skill position players, and you're doing so without probably one of the highest-ranked quarterbacks in the country. Tua Tagovailoa is in the opening in Dallas. So tell us who's running the quarterback for you right now and how you guys did yesterday.
Our next guy, Sawyer Pate, is playing right now and had a really good day yesterday. We dropped balls that we should have caught. Really, he had an exceptional day. A great kid. He's been here with us since I got here. He knows the system very well, and I was proud of Sawyer, and he's got a whole nother day to toss around a little bit.
Coach, today this tournament starts at 9 a.m. Talk to us about who you'll be facing today and how this ultimately helps your team, especially when you have a backup quarterback coming in that's getting quality reps in the summertime.
Yeah, I'm not really sure who the brackets – they're having to play leftover games right now from last night, so – I'm not sure who we'll catch, but 9 o'clock we'll catch somebody. And like I said, I know from up there where in our region, Hoover and Trussell's both down here. And We played Trustful this summer. We haven't played Hoover yet. We haven't matched up with them, but there's good Spanish Fort, of course, here, and there's some good teams. And man, it's just really good. It's a good way to practice what you do, and especially, you know, our offense. We run this, and a lot of them guys do, so you get a lot of good practice.
You know, Coach, a lot of folks may not understand how these things work. Can you explain to them, is it pool play and then goes to single or double elimination after that?
It is, and we played pool play yesterday, and the last game we had lightning delay, so they sent us home, and some guys had to finish up today to get their pool up with, and then they're going to they'll bracket it at around 8:30, and then we'll start at 9, and I think Tad and them have shortened it up maybe a little bit in case of rain this afternoon. So once we get started today, it looks like it'll be pretty much back to back to back to back till you go. And it is double elimination, so you know if you mess up early, you can fight your way back.
Coach Freeman, you have an opportunity to coach an outstanding quarterback and comes from an outstanding family in Tua Tagovailoa. He came in last year and kind of gave you a shot in the arm, and you guys did defeat Hoover in the regular season and unfortunately lost in the semifinals. But talk to us about the growth of him and his character and the type of young man that he is.
Well, Corey, he is that guy that he's just a blessing to coach, and I'm going to tell you what the Lord's done to me, man. Over my career, I've had some great, great kids, young men to work with at that spot, and that's the position I coach and kind of call the plays and stuff. And, man, I go back to Logan Paul and Brandon at Gulf Shores, and I had Joel and Tyler up here at Spanish Fort. And, man, it's just been a blessing to deal with him. He's such an unselfish person, and I'm talking about genuine. It's not a, hey, I'm going to be a team leader, I'm going to talk about my teammates. It's really a genuine unselfishness and attention to detail, and just what people don't understand, he's a fierce competitor. And it's just a great, great, you know, opportunity to work with a young man. And I'll say this about all our kids, they're really great kids that I think their older brothers and maybe their families have been through some tough times up here, and it's just a blessing to work with them because they work hard and they enjoy having success. And you know, at the end of the day, if you know you're working with a bunch of young men that, you know, value success and put it in the right, you know, priorities, then you know what, it's a blessing to be doing what we get to do.
You know, it's good. It's a great thing, Coach, what you're talking about is you got kids that are hungry. You can't coach that when they're hungry.
No,
and that's just and from what you're telling me, it sounds like your team is a hungry team this year. So after you get through this tournament today, I know y'all going to try to win this deal. What's next for Thompson High School after y'all get finished today?
You know, I think we'll play one more. Coach Hatcher at Sanford's a good friend, and Russ Calloway is a good friend of mine up there. And I think we'll play one more, Mark, in July. And we're going to change a little bit what we've been doing, and we're going to concentrate on some OTA and some more team stuff in July, and try to get our kids ready a little bit for summer. We've only got 9 games. I can't find a 10th game right now, and so we've got to make every opportunity count. And we start off, you know, with James Clemens and Montgomery. We got to come back down and play Foley week 2. So we're gonna play maybe one more in July, and then start focusing on OTAs.
Head coach Mark Freeman from Thompson High School, formerly of Gulf Shores and Spanish Fort, joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Coach, always a pleasure to catch up with you, and definitely look forward to talking to you very soon, and appreciate your time, and want to wish you the best of luck, Coach.
Corey, I appreciate you, man. And this place is special, and hope to get back down here one day and be around you guys. And it's a blessing to hear you two guys' voices, and I love you, and I hope God continues to bless you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Mark.
Coach, love you too, and thanks for joining us. Coach Mark Freeman, head coach at Thompson High School, competing in the Foley 7-on-7 showdown, and you have 16 teams, and if you have an opportunity and want to get that itch scratched for football, go down to Foley High School, the Owa Center, I do believe. The Sports and Recreation Complex is where that is being taken place. And there's some great talent. I mean, you're looking at two guys, Paul Tyson, who's committed to Alabama, along with Tulua. So you have two Alabama verbal commitments that are playing on this 7-on-7 showcase. It's lacking a little talent because Tulua is not here. He's in the opening in Dallas, along with Hoover wide receiver George Pickens. But with that being said, 7-on-7 down in Foley this morning, and also they had 7-on-7 at Alma Bryant yesterday. We'll talk about that a little later on in the show, but don't go anywhere. Coming up next, AL.com's Ben Thomas will be joining us on the Prep Sports Report to talk about this St. Paul's injunction ruling that came out this week. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show. This
is the day. Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Corey LeBounty sitting in for a vacationing Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwick, Philip on the phone lines, and joining us on the Premier Motorsports communication lines in this Green and Phillips segment. I tell you what, there's been a lot of law talk here this week, Ben Thomas, and want to thank you first and foremost for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. St. Paul's denied a preliminary injunction ruling this past week. I know you've been writing about it, and tell us all about it and what you know, Ben.
Good morning, guys. First of all, if Rick's on vacation, y'all can spice up the intro music a little bit. I don't know what that is. He's got Barry Manilow or something going there. You need to get some Poison or, some of that going maybe in the morning.
We'll work on it. Anytime you come on, Brother Ben, from now on, I'm going to have your Poison ready to go.
All right. I feel like I should have a new show like Law Call, Corey. I mean, I've been writing about court stuff now for 2 months, and this is usually kind of the slow time of year, but because of this, largely because of this St. Paul thing, it's not been very slow. But as you said in the first segment, I heard you when you came on, Corey. The judge this week denied, William H. Steele, federal judge, denied St. Paul's motion for an injunction against his competitive balance, which effectively puts them in the Class 6A in the 15 of their sports. Based on even though they're enrollment wise, they're a Class 4A school. In fact, I think, and when you're judging this stuff, St. Paul's, I believe 10 through 12 has an enrollment of 310, and I think the smallest 6A school is like just over 600. So that's what they're. I mean, that's the smallest 6A school is double St. Paul's size, and the largest is more than three times their size. So. That's what they were battling, but the judge ruled against them, and they came out the next day and said that, despite that, we're going to play and do our best, and we'll go from here. The lawsuit technically is still there. I mean, what the judge has denied is this preliminary injunction motion. There's still a lawsuit there. However, I believe that St. Paul's will drop it and move forward. I mean, the judge has basically ruled that he doesn't think the case can succeed on its merits. So, I'm not sure where you go here. I think the suit will be dropped, and we'll just try and get along together from here on.
The AHSAA Central Board unanimously approved competitive balance in November, and competitive balance basically forced private schools who have a certain level of success to play up in classifications against those other schools. And I think a lot of the private schools, their biggest complaint, Ben, was the 1.35 multiplier that is used for private schools on top of this competitive balance formula that was given by the AHSAA Central Board.
Yeah, I mean, that's the gist of it. I mean, in 1999, they passed that multiplier, and Mark works at a private school. I mean, I think it's I don't think it's unfair. I mean, I think almost all of them are already playing up a classification, and now certain teams, I think it's 85 of 820 private school teams in the state, or about 10%, are now having to play up an additional classification. Obviously, at Mark's school, this affects Bayside Academy Volleyball, which is one 3,000 straight titles. Actually, I think it's 16, but a bunch. So they'll be playing up a classification. So I don't like it, guys. I think it's a bad rule. I understand why it was done. I think Steve Savarese is realizes there's a conflict here that some public school people have, you know, been trying to move private schools out for years. And I think what he's doing is trying to hold it together, because I do think we're better off together. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to see a league of 51 private schools in any sport. Mark can probably talk about that a little bit more. I mean, there's in the state, there's 373 public schools and 51 private schools. So you separate them. I don't know what competition level that is, especially when you get higher up. So I'm one that thought the multiplier was fine and that it did nullify some perceived advantages for the private schools. But when you add this competitive balance on it, particularly in contact sports like football and even soccer, it can be dangerous. I mean, you're talking about, like I said, the largest school in 6A being more than three times as large as St. Paul's is.
Hey, Ben, this is Dalton Orwig here, and you just mentioned safety being an issue, and St. Paul's brought that up in their lawsuit. What did the judge have to say about that? Did he mention that when he struck down this preliminary injunction?
You know, he said a couple of things. He said that he didn't feel like they proved that there was a significant risk there, and I don't know how you could prove that. I mean, other than maybe going back and detailing the injuries that have happened when playing against larger classifications. So he kind of denied that. And then I thought what was interesting is he basically said that courts in the past have taken a hands-off matter when it comes to the high school association. They've let them handle their own business, and that's what they're going to do going forward. So, in other words, don't sue the high school association because you're not going to win.
That's exactly right, Ben. You know, never in the history of the High School Athletic Association that I know of has there ever been a court case that's gone against the ruling of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and it's not going to change because they. And I think it's good that the courts want to stay out of the high school athletic. They would rather the High School Athletic Association figure it out for themselves. At the same time, I don't want the High School Athletic Association to be influenced by people who are in politics wanting to see things pass through the legislature to force them to do certain things. I think that's equally as wrong, and I think they see that. But, you know, for me, as you talk about the rule of the thing on safety, I think, like, when you talk about St. Paul's playing a team that has three times as or two times as many kids, if they go through a season and they have to play that schedule, it's like playing it. To me, you take the similarity of if it would be like Samford University getting into the Conference USA or not Conference, SEC, and having to play that schedule along all year long. I mean, let's say they have the equivalent amount of people they're playing, but they're playing the SEC week in and week out. It's going to take a toll where you get a kid hurt or somebody, and they're going to get hurt. There's injuries in football. They're going to get hurt. You don't have anybody to replace them with. Where the teams that are bigger or have more kids, they have people that are going to step in there and play that role. That it just wears your team out. By the time you've played 10 games, you know, you don't know what you're going to have left standing, and it's just a wear and tear to me. That's what it feels like, and it would be that's the health issue I have. Like you said, Ben, I don't think they can come up with, say, okay, because we're playing these schools, we're going to have 19 more concussions per year. That's not it. I think it's the wear and tear on the team.
That's exactly what it is. And, you know, one of the high school association's arguments that they countered with was, well, you know, St. Paul's played seven 6A and 7A schools in the last 8 years. Well, a couple of things. Yeah, because they pretty much had to scheduling-wise. I mean, if you're a 5A team or blue, do you want to play St. Paul's? And so they did schedule some of those teams. But when you're playing one game against Fairhope, that's different than playing eight straight games against 6A competition. At least that's what, you know, I'm speaking as that's what how St. Paul's was phrasing it. So I do think you hit on a good point there about the courts and the legislature, Mark. If the courts don't feel like they should get involved in the high school association, why should the legislature feel
Absolutely.
Like they should get involved?
Right.
I mean, that's why we're in this situation to begin with, because a lawmaker in North Alabama got mad at Madison Academy and proposed a bill
right.
that would
right.
segregate all private
right.
schools, and Mr. Savarese and the central board trying to keep them out of it felt like they had to do something to prevent that. So I don't think, and I've said on numerous shows, I don't think Steve Savarese is the enemy here. Just the opposite. I think he's trying to keep everybody together. It's just, this is just not a good rule. I don't know what. I just wish they would have, the legislature would have stayed out of it.
I agree with you, Ben. And I agree with Coach Savarese, your thoughts on that, I know he wants to keep everybody together. A split between public and private school would be disastrous,
be
in my opinion. I think it was something we can talk about in the next segment. Ben, if you can hold over with us,
sure.
We'll talk about that a little bit more, and a little bit more about, you know, what happens now. Where do the private schools go from here on out? And I just think it's something that needs to be discussed. And then once we get done with it, let's move on and get ready to play ball.
We're talking with Ben Thomas from AL.com, who's done a terrific job of covering this St. Paul's litigation that's been going on for the last couple of months since they filed their initial ruling. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back with AL.com's Ben Thomas right after the break, and hopefully bring him back with a little Poison music as well. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Ben Thomas joining us on the Premier Motorsports communication lines this morning. And, Brother Ben, that was for you now.
That's what I'm talking about, Corey. I just hope Rick is somewhere far out of town where he can't pick up 106.5, or we're all going to pay for that next week.
We're all going to have to grow a mullet now.
We're definitely going to grow a mullet. Don't tell people, like, Coach Rick Cleveland is listening to us. He's streaming this morning. Tell people how they can tune in to us.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, unfortunately for us this morning, Rick Cleveland can hear us wherever he's traveling. But fortunately for us...
Well, hello, Rick.
Fortunately for us, the rest of the time, everybody can hear us on the TuneIn Radio app. Just download that TuneIn app, Google Play Store, or iTunes. Search for FM Talk 106.5 there, and you'll pull up Prep Sports Report and listen to us whenever. You can also get the podcast on fmtalk1065.com.
Ben Thomas from AL.com joining us through that break. And Ben, when we went to break, we were talking about, okay, what now? What is the future with this injunction being denied, this preliminary injunction ruling being denied by St. Paul's and Judge William Steele striking it down? We're ultimately looking at probably a public versus private postseason finale going on in the future, and unfortunately you and I both don't want to see that. In other states, they already have that. They already have private schools versus public school championships, to where you can play each other in the regular season, just not in the postseason. Is that what you see coming?
Well, I sure hope not, but I do think I think we're getting closer and closer to it. I think this lawsuit probably ruffled some feathers of people, public school people, that were already kind of on the side of separation there. And, you know, Coach Savarese, who we all know is at some point in the next couple of years probably going to retire and move back down here and spend time with his family and grandkids. And when that happens, I think a lot of people think, depending on who moves into that position, that can happen. You know, if you guys notice, the private schools, many of them, I think about half of them, joined Met before this judgment in Montgomery and signed a letter. I think 23 of them signed a letter in support of the high school association. It was kind of ironic, because the letter basically said, while none of us support competitive balance, which is what the whole thing was about to begin with, we do support the high school association and their rules and how they came about, and we intend to play by them. So in other words, they're saying, look, don't kick us out because of this. And I know they're worried about it. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think that separation would be good for anybody. I mean, I think the public schools around here, let's take in 7A where you have McGill Toolin. I mean, if you're Davidson or Murphy, even though they've been beating you consistently for the last 5 years, do you really not want to play them? I mean, it's your biggest gate, draws the most interest of any game you play. It's not a good idea. I don't like it. I mean, I guess we could add private schools, or they could join the AISA or what have you. But I mean, I just don't, I don't see how it's going to work. I don't see how McGill would be able to how they could match up with Cottage Hill or
yeah,
St.
who
Luke's
they gonna
or,
play? You're right. Who they gonna play?
So, I hope it doesn't happen.
Me too.
What I hope happens out of all this is that, you know, as I understand it, Mark may be able to clarify this. I've got to talk to the Coach Savarese, and those guys have not been willing to talk since this suit has happened, which is understandable in legal
right.
proceedings.
Right.
But one of their points of contention for St. Paul's is that I think the rule says you got to have 3 years in one classification to be based on competitive balance. So in other words, they're not just going to play 6A football for 2 years, they're going to play 6A football for 4 years, even if they go 0-10 the next couple of years. So I'd like to see that tweaked. If we're going to keep this competitive balance, I think it needs to, you need to be able to review it every 2 years. You need to make changes, improvements. There's been some talk that eventually it's going to include the public schools. I don't know if that's the answer either, guys. I mean, I think if we're going to do it, it ought to include everybody. But, you know, let's take a team like Maplesville or somebody like that. I mean, you know, Maplesville doesn't have any inherent advantages other than they just work hard. And,
right.
And, you know, their facilities are certainly not, you know, like Hoover or anything. So why penalize them? I think it's a bad rule set to appease some people, keep lawmakers out of the high school association business. And I'm hoping that every couple of years they can review it and improve it or do something else.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ben. I don't think we're going to see a split anytime soon. I just don't think that's going to happen because, first of all, who in the world is McGill Toolan going to play? If they're the biggest school in the state and they're not going to play, Cottage Hill's not going to play them, Bayside's not going to play them, why would we play McGill Toolan? I mean, that's ridiculous.
No offense to them. But
no,
yeah,
no, but I mean, I'm not, and so there's no, I don't, the disparity there is just too great. It's too great. And it was bad. It's bad for McGill, it's bad for St. Paul, big schools like that, that are good, solid schools. And having to play up in those divisions, there's nobody in private schools to play with them. There's not enough team.
No,
you know, our
no.
Like you said, what is there, 51?
51. I think maybe only 49 of them play football.
Because, I mean, you look at 1A now, St. Luke's, and McGill Toolan. I mean, the disparity there is just too great.
So I don't, like I said, I don't think we're going to see that happen anytime soon. I hope we don't. And I don't know about, you know, I've heard people talk about going to the AISA, and I don't know how much they would want that to happen. That yeah. organization has their own thing, and they've done a great job for a long time, and I don't think that's going to happen. So it's going to be kind of interesting. And, you know, the thing about the 25 schools, you know, whatever it was they signed up there, I think every school in the state of Alabama believes that we need to work with the High School Athletic Association. It is our central board. It is our body, that, you know, the body of folks that make the rules. They don't make the rules. They enforce the rules that are made by the schools around the state of Alabama. I don't think, however, that, you know, if you're going to sign that thing and say, yeah, and I agree, they should have said that was a wrong thing, then we need to go forward. If they don't believe that that's the right thing to do, then there ought to be a big push coming up after this season or whenever it's over and saying, let's get this thing straight, and let's get it straight now before it gets any worse than it already is.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, come think of it, Mark, as it, bringing it back to you, I mean, I would think Bayside wasn't too far away from moving up in football with that championship game appearance.
I think it was one victory.
Wow.
I think that's what Coach Lazme was telling me. I think that's what it was we had one more, if we had one more playoff win.
Would have went to 4A.
Would have went to 4A, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good picture of it, actually, because, and I'm not slighting Bayside Academy at all, but anybody that's seen y'all's team play knows they're not a bunch of five-star guys running around out there. I mean, it's done because you have a couple of great coaches who know what they're doing, and yourself included.
Thank you.
And so, you know, imagine that y'all got pushed up because of that success. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's just not. You're gonna get me started now. It's just.
Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. You mentioned one went away from moving up. Has there been any talk about critics of this rule that maybe it could lead to some teams tanking if they see that they're right on the edge of possibly moving up another classification?
I don't think that's going to happen. It's too hard to figure. You know, a lot of people say that schools, private schools, are able to manipulate their enrollment. I just think that's hard to do. I mean, that they could forecast where they might end up based on their enrollment and the multiplier and all that stuff. I mean, look. I mean, you know, you hear that word recruiting. Private schools by nature recruit. They have to. I mean, they not just student athletes, just students. I mean, they have a certain number of students. They have to get in there to meet their needs to pay their teachers, or they're not going to be able to, pay the bills, pay the teachers. They can't just wait for people to walk through the doors, you know. So, but you know, and I've said this for years. I hear more about predominant public schools recruiting, bringing guys in, than I ever hear about private schools. So I just think that's a crutch that some people use. Whenever you guys read my stories, whenever I write any stories about this, even if I'm just writing about a Bayside game against T.R. Miller or something, and mm-hmm. Bayside wins, one of the comments is always, well, of course they win. They got the best players money can buy. Well, that's just uneducated. If you, right. you haven't seen them play.
Right.
See, now you guys got me wound up. Am I wrong, Mark?
No, you are absolutely right. I mean, we take what we get. We don't. I mean, there's just, and I'll just call it like it is. There have been a few private schools in the state of Alabama that have figured out ways to find loopholes to get kids into their school and have gone out and done it. There are some. There are also some public schools who have done the same thing. And the thing about it is I hate that a few people have done things incorrectly in our high school athletic association have now caused this whole thing for the other 95% of us, or 90% of us, who do things right every week, every yeah. day. We don't go out and do those things, and it creates a perception that, oh, well, the private school, this is a perception I think people have, is the private schools get together and they go, okay, who do we got to get? Who's on our board? Let's go find this guy and this guy and this guy. We got to get a running back. We got to get this. We got to get that. And we go out and send people out to actively recruit them. I believe that's the perception people have of some private schools, and that's just wrong. That's not the way it's done. It is not done that way.
Yeah, you know, the Alabama Accountability Act, I don't think, has actually helped the perception there. But, no. What strikes me is, so St. Paul's, we all know they've won 3 out of the last 4 Class 5A state titles, but they've only won 5 in their entire existence, right. or 4, I mean. They won when A.J. McCarron was a junior there. And if you look at them, in this 4-year run they've had, you know how many times they've been undefeated during that 4-year run?
None.
Once. Okay. The first year they went 15-0.
Sure, oh, that's right. That's right.
The last 2 years they didn't even win the region.
Right.
So it's not like they're this indomitable powerhouse like Hoover, for instance, that can't be beat. I mean, UMS beat them. They lost last year, but they beat them the 2 years before that, the Class 4A school. So
mm-hmm.
It's just frustrating. I don't think it's right, and I'm hoping that, you know, that we can play it through. And you know, it's amplified. St. Paul's situation is amplified. Let's face it, we're mainly talking about football
right.
here because of the risk of injury and stuff.
Right.
Two teams are moving up, Madison Academy and St. Paul's. And St. Paul's situation is amplified because of the region they're moving up into. If they were moving up into a region that just wasn't very good, to be honest, then it probably wouldn't be as big a deal. But when you're moving up into a region with Fairland and Spanish Ford and Daphne and Blount and Baldwin County, that makes it look a lot more terrorizing.
No doubt about it, Ben. And you've done a wonderful job covering this story. And anybody who wants to follow you on Twitter and read your stories and continue to learn more about this St. Paul's injunction, how can they do so?
Yeah, you guys. Well, hopefully I won't be writing a whole lot of more court stuff. I'm hoping we're getting toward the end of this. But al.com/highschools and Ben Thomas Preps. Y'all pray for me. I'm headed down to Foley again today to stand in the heat for 3 or 4 hours. So
get hydrated, buddy.
Pray for me. But we'll have coverage of that. And then my buddy Josh Bean is out at the opening in Dallas covering that. All the prospects.
Yeah.
Christian
yeah.
Williams from Daphne is out there. So, get on AL.com next few days and see what we got.
Thank
Hopefully
you so
we'll have
much.
Some actual sporting events.
Thanks Ben.
Ben, we appreciate you, buddy.
Ben Thomas joining us on Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
I listen to a favorite song playing on the radio.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty sitting in for vacationing Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwick on the board, Philip on the phone lines, and joining us right now on the Premier Motorsports communication lines is the new head boys basketball coach at Huntsville High School. Spent many, many days at Mountain Brook High School as an assistant coach, and a guy who's just very, very passionate about the game of basketball is going to do an outstanding job at Huntsville High School. New head boys basketball coach Christian Schwiers joining us. Christian, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Corey, thank you so much for that introduction. You did not have to do that. I am so glad to be on the air with you this morning. Even though you're down in Mobile, I'm in Huntsville. We're a ways away, but we both share a passion for the game of basketball that is unmatched, and I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Thanks for joining us again this Saturday morning. Coach, you took the job. You got hired after winning the state championship at Mountain Brook. It's an opportunity now for you to take over a program. We just finished up the month of June and the play dates to where you can kind of get acclimated to your team and see your team in action. Talk to us about the transition that you've had from getting the job, getting to know your players, the community, and the play dates that you had success with here in June.
Well, first thing I just want to say is that, you know, it just can't go unsaid, and that's the foundation that I was able to have a part of Mountain Brook and coach under Bucky McMillan and the other coaches at Mountain Brook, Tyler Davis, Dave Good, and just an incredible foundation was laid for me, and so any success that I have will not be directly because of me. It's just going to be because of the experience I've been able to have at Mountain Brook, and then just growing up the son of a coach, someone I highly respect, my dad, Jack Schwiers, and so we just had a special thing at Mountain Brook. It's just a product of what all happened there and over those 9 years that I was around that program, and just really fortunate to be in the situation I'm in at Huntsville, and I really am excited about our program. I'm really excited about my team. I've been here about a month, and June was a whirlwind. You can ask any coach in Alabama that's going through that grind where you're on about 23 days in June, and you're practicing, you're playing games, and you're traveling, and it's just a lot of fun. And I really am pleased with what I saw in June, and I thought our guys worked really hard, and we tried to establish the right habits every single day that we want to be about. And our goal is not to win state championships. It's not to win games. It's not to be successful. That's those are results. And so if you're results-oriented, it's just you're missing the point, in my opinion. I think it's just about so much more than that. And our players are buying into that. And it's exciting to be around.
Coach, talk to us about some of the players that are on your roster that we need to be watching out for. You know, down here on the Gulf Coast, we have a passion about basketball too, and I'm glad you brought that up earlier in your statement. And the game of basketball, like I say, this past month of June, there were multiple play dates that basketball coaches, new hired coaches as well as old coaches, had an opportunity to get to know their personnel, because every year you have the turnover on the roster with seniors graduating and kids not transferring or being ineligible. But what did you learn about your team and some of the players on your team that really stood out and became alpha dogs and leaders?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll start with our seniors. We have 7 seniors on our roster. In high school basketball, that's a big deal, and these guys have been through a lot. They've experienced a lot of turnover. They've been through some coaching changes, and so to come in and have to buy into a totally different system, have to buy into totally different things, and new strategy and all new stuff, X's and O's, and new style of play and new mentality, and all these different things. For them to come in and buy in as seniors showed me a lot. And it's the reason why, if we're going to be successful this coming year in years after. It'll be because of what these seven seniors, what these guys do in terms of their everyday effort, their attitude, their work ethic, and their unselfishness with each other. And a couple guys in particular, Nathan Moore is a 6'8 post player that has kind of bursted out on the scene, and he's a guy that if he'll continue to work and get stronger, I think he's going to have a really good senior year. He's a good player for us. He just came back from a visit at Tennessee Chattanooga. He plays AAU with Pro One, and so he's gotten some looks there. And great kid, and he's a really good player. Skilled, athletic, can run the floor at 6'8", and he's still growing. I think he's going to end up 6'9 or 6'10". But I'm excited about Nathan and what he can become. A guard for us, our top guard probably is John Cole Norris. Up here in the North Alabama area, he's known as J.C. Norris. He's a really good shooter. He's a gritty player. He's a tough player. I had to bet he probably is our toughest player just in the limited time I've been around. I'm excited about him because of his toughness. He is a college prospect as well at some level. He's a 6-foot guard. He can really shoot it, score it.
And good that's defender. Important. Very important.
A great competitor, and that's something that doesn't get mentioned much today's game. Everybody talks about skill stuff, and that's great, but not a lot of kids really like to compete.
And see, Coach, if you're able to compete, that's big. That's the biggest thing. We have about another 30 seconds before we have to get out of this break, Coach. Want to go ahead and tell everybody that I know coming up you have the huge AL.com Classic, the Huntsville Times Classic, as it's named, going to have 36th annual Huntsville City Classic, going to have probably 10 Division I prospects. Tell us what that date is here in about 15 seconds, and people can look forward to it.
I'll go quick. It's December 27th, 28th, and 29th. They're going to pack 16 teams in 3 days. It's going to be a great tournament. We got teams coming from all over. We got Crestview, Florida. We got 3 other teams from outside the Huntsville area. And then we got the best that Huntsville can offer. We got the Hazel Greens, the Lee Huntsville's, Huntsville High. Obviously, we'll be hosting it this coming year. And we're excited about that.
Coach Schwierz joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Want to thank you, and we'll definitely have you on when basketball season starts back to talk about your team and where you've grown from June up until the November start. Coach, thanks a lot for joining us.
Corey, I appreciate you having me on, man. It means a lot.
Coach Christian Schwierz, the head boys basketball coach at Huntsville High School. We'll be right back to start hour number two of the Prep Sports Report.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labonte.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey Labonte sitting in for Rick Cleveland this morning, who's on assignment, a.k.a. vacation. Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, handling the boards for us, doing a great job as always. Philip on the phone lines. You can reach us at 251-343-0106. And when you talk about summertime, Dalton, America's pastime, we know, is baseball. But coming to Mobile, Alabama last month was a new professional women's softball team in league, and it's very, very prevalent because women's softball and girls softball is continuing to grow. Just here locally, we had former Faith Academy star Lacey Fincher, who was a Georgia Lady Bulldog signee. She just got selected to play in the Premier Girls Fast Pitch All-American Game, and that will take place July 27th in Irvine, California. It would also be televised by ESPNU. Fincher hit 523 this season, hit 20 home runs, and drove in 54 RBIs.
Golly.
That's very impressive. And you look at 7A locally, in the state of Alabama, we had Fairhope High School to win the girls' softball championship in 7A. So softball is continuing to grow, and we wanted the opportunity to kind of put out there, coming up at Satsuma High School is the ASBA. They play several days out of the week, and joining us now is the Chief Executive Officer of the ASBA, Mike Sheradio. Good morning, Mike.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you on this morning. Talk to us a little bit about what the ASBA is, where you all play, and there's some local young ladies who are on these four teams that are within your league.
There are. Well, we're at Satsuma High School in Satsuma, Alabama, obviously. I guess the way I can summarize what the ASBA is for me personally, baseball is a big part of my life, and growing up, I guess I could say basically I was a very, very mediocre baseball player. But as I moved up the ranks and got into high school and got into college, I always had that carrot in front. I always thought maybe I could get drafted or play some type of professional, even though it was totally unrealistic. I always thought I could play at the next level. And I felt that really helped me as I kind of developed as a young man. So that's obviously something like this. You have a lot of help, a lot of people contribute, but it's more or less my brainchild, and that's kind of the root of it, is to have something for young women to be able to, you know, as they develop and mature, to be able to have something where they believe that even if they may be at a Division II or a Division III or even an NAIA school, they can play professionally, and they can work that way, and they don't have to fizzle out. They can see college as a developmental time. So that's really what the league is, and its mission and its purpose. So we're brand new, and we're going to look to continue to grow.
We're talking with Mike Sciradio, the CEO of the ASBA Pro Softball League. And basically, it's expanding opportunities for professional fast-pitch softball players in America. And these players come from all across the country to play on your four teams. And tell us the names of your four teams. And once you tell us those names, tell us some of the local players that are on these teams.
All right. Well, sounds good. Well, we have four teams. I'll give you them in order. When we drafted, we had them come in and choose their draft spot. So the first pick was Mobile, USA. They have Kaylee Todd, who is the all-time leader in like 11 categories. Her mom would be upset. She would want me to name the categories, but she went to South Alabama right here in Mobile, and she, you know, she's the all-time hits leader, all-time runs leader, not just single season, but like in the history of the program, she's got the most. You know, there's a couple other categories that she's the all-time leader in. So we have her. She's fantastic. The second team is Future One. Future Ones, they have someone named Lauren Stewart. Lauren Stewart went to Spring Hill College. I know just off the top of my head, she's had some big at-bats for them so far. I think the E1 Pro Ballers, they have another Spring Hill native named Jenna Sharnoff, and she went to Spring Hill College. She actually just got activated the other night, and in her first night came in. You know, the E1 Pro Bowlers, I'm not going to lie, they were kind of on the downturn a little bit. But they activated the local kid, Jenna, and you know, she walked a couple times, scored a couple runs, made a diving catch, and now they've won three straight games since they got her. Future Ones actually also has Michaela Reed, who's from Saralyn. So we have some local products, and I remember Saralyn, Michaela Reed on the first night hit a game-tying home run, and like, you know, there's a bunch of people from Saralyn out there, and the place erupted. It was a really cool moment for the league and, you know, for the locals. It was very nice. And then the fourth team is Outkast. I'm trying to think if Outkast has a local kid on it, but they're a good team. Outkast is sponsored by Outkast Softball, which is a local program. They may not have a local kid, but it's got local roots because Outkast is from Greater Mobile. They have 12U, 14U, 16U youth programs, and we've sent people, you know, some of our girls have gone to their practices to work out with their girls. So it's been a great thing. So they're even there. I don't think they have a local player off the top of my head, but there are local ties. So those are our four teams, and they're as you can tell, they're not names, they're sponsors. The people who came in and helped us, we really needed the help to get it going. We're a startup league, so we allowed teams to come in, and they got the naming rights, and those are the teams.
Mike, with this being the inaugural season, just the beginning for you guys, what's the plan to get softball players around the country, these good softball players coming out of high school, what's the plan to get them knowledgeable about this new league and the possibility for them to come down? And I know you had this, you know, this first draft of the league, but how will you, in each offseason, are you going to hold a draft just like this? Or what's the plan from here on out for the ASBA?
Yeah, well, we'd like to. I mean, honestly, if you look at our rosters, we do have kids from everywhere. We had, I was telling people this before the draft. If you look, there was a kid from the University of Maine, which is up in the way northeast, and we have kids from Southern California, Northern California, and Florida, and everywhere kind of in between. So that came from, it was kind of psychopathic, but we sent an email, multiple emails, to every single four-year institution in the country. I mean, it's not just like the click of a button. It took some time. So that's, and we're going to continue with that. We're going to continue to lean on these college coaches. We are running extremely low budget on our end, and that's just so that we can come back again next year, so that we can expand with, I mean, nothing is easy, but expand with relative ease. If we do okay, we can look at, we can look in the mirror and say, hey, maybe we can duplicate this, because we started out of nothing, and we think that, you know, there are certain amenities that the players don't have. That's just, to be quite frank. But, and I tell them this all the time, we brought them in, we gave them a piece of the company, we'd like them to think as owners. We brought them in, we gave them ownership stake, because we want them to think like owners. And I tell them, look, not as a player, as an owner, I think we have to grow horizontally before we grow vertically. So the goal is for us to try to add more teams before we try to add sex appeal. So, I mean, you know, look, how do we accomplish that? you and I can debate that all day long, I guess.
Right, right.
Right, but that's kind of the macro plan and the overall idea.
Well, we love the growth, and we have about a minute left. Tell everybody what you have coming up this Wednesday for 4th of July softball, if they would like to come out, bring the family, and watch some fireworks maybe coming off those bats.
Well, we're not going to do fireworks, just because that's not coming from the ASBA, because I don't want to insure it. But I'm sure there'll be fireworks in the area. We're going to do a little, you know, cookout afterwards. There's always great food by us. We're playing at 1 o'clock, and right after, by 3:15 or so, there's a game. It's always a great time to come out. The ladies are incredible. They're very accessible. They're very personable. We have an all-star game, which is July 21st. We have July 4th is obviously a big day. Then July 21st is our all-star game. That's going to be fun. I think there's going to be a home run derby where maybe some fans can participate. And then our playoffs are going to be super cool. We have a one-game wild card where the 3 and the 4 seed play. That kind of turns right into a double elimination, almost like it's a college regional. So it's going to be a really great time. We're pretty much out there every single night except Monday, and it's always a good night. Last night was an incredible finish. It's always you really do always get your money's worth. I say wow a couple times every night, and I'm there. I mean, it's a great league. The league is great.
ASBA CEO joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report, Mike Sharadio. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll give that Twitter link to where people can go and follow you on Twitter as well. We'll be right back on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report Radio Network right here on FM Talk 106.5. And joining us on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines is none other than David. David, good morning. How's everything going at Premier this morning?
It's hot.
Yes, I will agree. I bet you have some hot deals over there, though.
We do have some hot deals. But I'll tell you, the easiest way to do it is just to get online. You don't have to get out in this heat. You can get online. You can see our inventory. You can fill out a credit app, and we'll get back in touch with you 30 minutes later.
And what kind of inventory do you have on stock for those to browse online and on your lot as well?
I just got in an 89 Jeep Wrangler S with a lift kit. Got a nice Lincoln MKZ. A beautiful black-on-black Audi Q5. And I still got a handicap van. I just got another one in. So I've got a pretty wide variety. A Dodge 4x4. So I think I can cover all the bases right now.
That's a good deal. David, we appreciate you as always, brother. How can people get in touch with you, and where are you located?
We are in Crichton, right at the Spring Hill and Moffett Road split. You can find us online at PremierMotorsportsMobile.com. Of course, we're on Facebook at Premier Motorsports. Or just give us a call at 251-338-9019. We'll be glad to help you.
David, we really appreciate you being on with us every Saturday morning, buddy. And if we can help you, holler at us.
Oh, guys, thanks for everything you do for prep sports around the Southeast.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great 4th of July.
You too. You know, I tell you what, have you ever gone to his website?
Yes.
It's pretty good. You can see anything you want to see on there.
And he'll go find it for you, too. If there's something you want, you get in touch with him, and they'll be happy to do that at Premier Motorsports. And
absolutely.
Somebody I'm always happy to talk with and work with each and every Super 7, and when it comes down to the AHSAA State Basketball Finals, is my cohort, Brett Pritchard. And Brett does a wonderful job for the AHSAA Radio Network. And I tell you, Coach, I know you guys go back. And, Brett, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you guys.
Good to have you on, buddy.
Brett, there's so much going on in high school athletics. This has been one of the busiest summers when you consider school is not in session, especially down here locally when you're talking about the St. Paul's preliminary hearing, injunction ruling by Judge William Steele this weekend. And basically, you know, St. Paul's was saying that because they're having to move up to the 6A classification, that their athletes would be at risk to being injured. And just want to get your thoughts about that. I know, you know, you've covered high school athletics for a very long time.
Well, let me first say this. I can see, and I'm not going to straddle the fence this morning. I can see both sides, though. I'm going to throw that out there. But I really think, from a standpoint of St. Paul's, as good a school as they are, the type of athletes that I've seen come out of that school the last 5 years, Corey, is phenomenal. I don't think them moving up to 6A, it would put their athletes in a situation where they'll be harmed. I'll just be honest, because St. Paul's has some of the best athletes in the state of Alabama. And look, I understand the basis behind their fight for this. I mean, I totally get it. If I were in their shoes, I probably would look at it as well. But if we're going to use that as a crutch to say that I think our student athletes will get injured, I'm just don't buy that. I mean, maybe from their standpoint of the 1.35 multiplier on top of the competitive balance, saying that's creating an unfair advantage for other schools, I can see that side. But from a standpoint of saying that our kids are going to get injured, I don't see that. And I may be wrong, but I just see what I can just report on what I've been able to see firsthand from them, you know, playing baseball, playing football, what they've been able to do in other sports, that they can compete at all levels. I mean, and they have the kind of athletes that can compete up and down classification.
You know, Brett, I'll agree with you to an extent on that they do have athletes that can compete in everything. But primarily we're talking about, in my opinion, we're talking about football, and football being the most contact sport that we have.
That's right.
Here in
That's
Alabama.
Right.
And what my thing that I've gone on this whole thing is not about, you know, and St. Paul's has had some great athletes. They got more coming. They got some great players. There's no doubt. People want to be involved in a program that's winning, and they're flocking to get over there. So, but at the same time, it's not about, you know, playing a couple of games. It's playing that whole schedule when they play Blount, Baldwin County,
Spanish Fort,
Daphne. You play that run of athletes, and you play, let's say, if you get into the playoffs, you end up playing 15 games against 6A opponents, and your actual numbers, the actual numbers you have in that school are a 4A numbers.
Yeah.
You know, it runs into them. I used to say, I remember saying one time, a long time ago, when I was at Benjamin Russell, when we had Scotty Bolt way back in the 80s.
And right.
Scotty was a big player being recruited by Alabama and Auburn. Well, I remember we were getting ready to play Robert E. Lee one night, and Scotty was getting, you know, and I was talking to Coach Sav. I said, Sav, we got one Scotty Bolt, and they got four. And
that's,
I was saying,
right,
because the number, the disparity is so large, I think, you know, that it's not – one or two. I think it's the wear and tear of a 6A schedule on a 4A basically type team in the number, the actual numbers. But you are correct, Brett, in that they have got great players and they can play with anybody in the state. I just don't know over the course of a season if they can do that. I think attrition may get them because there's a bunch of kids in there who play for them that are not SEC football players, that are not college football. They're just good old high school football players. So I see that point, and I agree with you, but I just feel like the attrition will catch up with them.
And it could, Coach. I definitely see where you're coming from on that, but I'm gonna also use an example there. Even within classification, when you go from the bottom of 6A to the top of 6A, there's a pretty good difference. And,
yes,
you know, you look at a school that has a roster of 85 kids versus a school in the same class that has a roster of 50 kids. I mean, there is no perfect answer for all this.
Oh,
you're
no.
going to have imbalances. And you look at the discrepancy when you start getting in the lower classifications of the difference of students, when you go from the top of 2A to the bottom of 2A. Man, I'm telling you, it's a bigger deal. I mean, I get what the HSA is trying to do as far as trying to make it, you know, as fair as possible, because we hear everything, you know, from private, you know, the private schools get tired of hearing that they have an advantage because they can go out and get kids from other places. And then I know the public schools are sitting there saying, you know, we have to compete against these schools that have resources that we don't have and things that are. Look, we can argue about this from now to the end of time. I don't think there's a perfect answer. I think that the HSA came up with a board and representation from both the private and the public sector. They laid about four or five options on the table, and they came together and agreed on this. Now, whether I agree with it, whether you guys agree with it, you know, you're not going to get 100% support from anything.
No,
and so I don't know what the real answer is. I know that maybe some of the verbiage and maybe the terminology used probably could be changed to make it sound a little bit better, because, you know, I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, I guess in this society now, if you win a lot, you get punished and you get moved up. And, you know, and I can see their point a little bit on that, but also I can see the other side is that if you're dominating that much in one classification and something's going on, maybe there's something that does need to be tweaked or changed. And whatever that is, I don't know what it is.
I don't think there is going to be an easy answer to any of it. But we mentioned a minute ago in the last segment, we were talking about a little bit about this, and we're going to cut this off in a minute. And we want to hold you over to the next segment, Brett, if you've got a few minutes to talk about Alabama-Mississippi game. But the last thing, it was like the Bayside Academy. Let's just take Bayside Academy. We're a little bitty 3A school. Man, we were one, I think this is right, and I could be wrong. We were one playoff victory away from being moved to 4A, our little school. And I was there thinking, man, I don't know if that's right, because I don't know if we've won a region title since I've been there. We've played well, but we haven't won our region or anything, but we've played pretty well. But it just seemed like that would be kind of unfair for a team like, you know, who just kind of plays over their head. But anyway, buddy, we're going to a break. Let's come back in a few seconds and talk about Alabama-Mississippi with Brett Pritchard.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LeBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, Rick Cleveland on assignment, Mark Lasseter, Dalton on the board, Philip on the phone lines. Joining us on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines is Brett Pritchard. He's my broadcast partner on the AHSAA radio network and host of Sports Blitz Live. Also does Auburn Blitz and does a little play-by-play announcing for Benjamin Russell, a man of many hats is Mr. Brett
and
Pritchard.
And many talents.
And many talents. There you go. And
hey, Coach, now, I appreciate it, but we don't have to go that
I hear you. I hear you, Brett. Now, going into the break, we were mentioning the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star Game, and unfortunately, this past year, Alabama just got throttled by Mississippi. And I know there's a lot of talent in the state of Alabama, probably some of the most we've seen in a very long time. Want to get your opinion on that here in the last couple of minutes we have with you.
Yeah, I think so, Corey. I think that was an eye-opener last year. They really took it to us. You know, Mississippi, the last couple of years have had really good talent come out of their state. And this year may be the best group of talent we've seen since A.J. Brown and all that group came out of the state of Mississippi. And we know what A.J. Brown's been able to do and some of those guys that left out of that class with them. But Alabama really has owned Mississippi in that series. But they take that game serious. I mean, this is a border war. It's one of the best high school all-star games in the country. You look at the preliminary top 10 in the state of Alabama right now, and, of course, Auburn and Alabama both are owning the top 10 in the state of Alabama. I think Alabama's got four or five of the top 10 already committed, and I think Auburn's got three of the top 10 committed. So, really, only a couple left out of the top 10 in the state that haven't committed to either Auburn or Alabama. So you look at Paul Tyson and Hewitt Trussell committed to Alabama, the great-grandson of Bear Bryant, and then, of course, Tagovailoa, which is Tua's younger brother, playing at Thompson. Both of them great quarterbacks, both ranked in the top 10, depending on which service you're looking at. And they're both committed to Alabama, so they're both going there. Of course, Christian Williams from down there in Daphne's committed to Alabama. He's a phenomenal defensive back. You've also got Amari Knight from Thompson High School that is committed to Alabama, and of course Pierce Quick from Hewitt Trussell, the number two player in the state behind another big offensive lineman from Oxford High School. You'll see this kid get a lot of looks this year. Clay Webb,
yeah,
listed as the number one player in the state. And on Auburn side, you got George Pickens, maybe one of the best receivers in the country from Hoover, really is showing out this summer everywhere he's going. And of course Bo Nix, the number one dual threat quarterback in the country, as Pat Nix's son, and won a state championship at Fenton Valley this past year. So Alabama, it really has a ton of talent. But you flip over there and you look at the state of Mississippi, and what I've noticed, guys, is that Alabama and Auburn have been able to go over to Mississippi and start getting a few of their top players. Auburn able to land Jaron Handy, commitment from him. He's the number five player in the state of Mississippi, a four-star defensive end from Hattiesburg. Alabama gets the number eight player right now, an athlete from Oxford, Mississippi, right there in the backyard of Ole Miss, in Brandon Turnage. He's 6'1", 185 pounds. So Auburn and Alabama both have been able to go in and get a commitment from a top player in the state of Mississippi. So that increases the rivalry and makes it even more of an exciting game when you got Auburn and Alabama going over and stealing a couple of the better players in the state of Mississippi. And of course it looks like Auburn and Alabama have the top 10 here in this state locked down. It's going to be a fun game at the end of the football season.
Well, Brett, just want to thank you for joining us. And that game's going to be played on a Monday this year, so that's a little change from a Saturday to a Monday format. So I know we're looking
Where
forward to covering that. Yeah, I do believe it's going to be at the Crampton Bowl
Crampton
this year.
It's going to be back in Montgomery.
It'll be back in Montgomery. So, Brett, just want to thank you for all the wonderful work you do as part of the AHSAA radio network. And I know December will be here before you know it, brother, and we'll be in touch as soon as this football season starts to talk with you about the Benjamin Russell team and how they're doing as well.
Guys, thank y'all so much. Coach, good to talk to you.
You too,
Corey,
buddy.
I'll see you soon, brother.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Brett
thank Pritchard you. From the AHSAA Radio Network joining us on the Prep Sports Report.
Well, they do a good job up there.
Do a wonderful job.
Randy Lee. Austin Robinson, they do a really good job up there.
And I tell you, somebody who does a wonderful job and is our Saturday morning breakfast is Scooter joining us on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Good morning, Scooter.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
Good. If y'all had Prep Sports really at nighttime, it would be Prep Sports Scooter's breakfast. It would be Scooter Supper.
That's exactly
right. Scooter Supper. That's right. That's a good analogy, Scooter. How are you doing?
I'm ready for football season.
Okay, well, I think we're all itching for some football.
Can we go ahead and pick the New England Patriots to win the Super Bowl, or do you think the Philadelphia Eagles will repeat?
I'm picking the Patriots. I'm with you, Scooter.
I'm staying away from the Patriots, Scooter.
I'm with the Patriots.
They need to have Rob Gronkowski well, though.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got to be healthy.
If he's not, they're not going to win.
Is he the fastest tight end in the league?
Maybe not the fastest, but the biggest, and I guess the most like a semi-truck.
Most animated.
Is he faster than Kellen Lindsay was?
No. I don't think so. No. I don't think so, Scooter.
He was pretty fast.
He's a big fella.
I tell you who was not faster, but he was a good Jason Witten.
Jason Witten was a great tight end.
He just retired.
Out
of Tennessee.
We got that trivia for you, Scooter. You ready for it?
Yes, I am.
All right, buddy. Here we go. In the fifth game of the 2012 season, Alabama would trail for the first time in the season, but it only lasted 15 seconds because Christian Jones ran a 99-yard kickoff return against the opponent. Who was that opponent?
Probably Tennessee.
Scooter, I finally got you. It was Ole Miss.
It was Ole Miss?
Ole Miss. Yeah, Alabama went on to win the game 33-14.
Was Vern Lundquist broadcasting that game?
Yes. Yes, he was.
I miss Vern.
Yeah, you know.
Uncle Vern.
We used to get on Vern a lot because we met, but, you know, that made part to me.
I don't know if you noticed, but he was also the voice of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, he was.
When Butch Johnson made the catch against Denver in the Super Bowl, he was calling on Dallas Cowboy radio.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
And Roger Staubach for the pass.
Yep. Give us that pump, Scoot.
Woo!
Take care, buddy.
God bless you for calling. Have a good week.
You too, bud. Have a great fourth.
So much going on in high school athletics. You have Saraland approving a construction of a new $3.2 million athletic facility, and that's just going to be glorious for the Saraland Spartans program. And for those who think that public schools can't do it, kudos to the Saraland community for go ahead and approving a sales tax back in 2015 that would help fund not only additional classroom space but athletic facilities improvements as well. The Saraland Spartans and Coach Jeff Kelly are going to get that $7.5 million property tax that was passed in 2015, including the new athletic facility and part of that tax being approved. It's just going to do tremendous things for the Saraland community as well as the Spartan program. And it's not going to benefit just the football program. They're going to have batting cages for baseball and softball, additional coaching offices. So it's really going to improve the overall image of Saraland High School, and I think Jeff Kelly and that whole community is on the right track by doing it the right way.
I agree with you. That community, when they started that school out there and got it going and just made their own school system, they really took off and have some great leadership out there, not only in their school but in their city as well, and have just made some things. And the folks are hungry and want to do some things, and they've done it. I mean, kudos to them.
One of the things that you normally don't see, guys, is an outing from a head coach this late in the season. Here it is. We're about to go to July 1st, and Rusty Funk is out as Centrinnels head football coach after three seasons. And it kind of makes you wonder, first of all, why the change this so late?
You know, I didn't even know it had happened. And it happened, what, this week?
Yeah, it happened this week, probably Wednesday.
Was
probably
it of his choosing?
They didn't say. They just said he stepped down as.
Could be anything. You know, you never know. We people always tend to jump off the ledge, you know, saying, oh, something terrible's happened. It may not be. It may be something else. Could be health. Could be something in his family's health. Could be something that he needs to do. There's no telling. I don't know what happened. I have no earthly idea, and I can't speak on it intelligently because of that. But I would think that, you know, Rusty's a good guy. He's done a good job wherever he's been. And, you know, they had a really pretty good season last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they did. I mean, having an opportunity to make the playoffs, Coach Funk kind of turned that program around, had some big, big wins. And, you know, we just finished talking about Saraland and their athletic facility, but Saraland cornerback Cordell Flott this past week flipped his commitment from Auburn to LSU. That's one of those things that until you actually have National Signing Day, even though National Signing Day now has been moved up, you see commitments change their mind. And I think that's very interesting.
You know, what's really been kind of funny to me on that commitment thing, do you remember this time last year that Alabama didn't have many commits. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody was saying like they do every year. It's the end of the Alabama dynasty.
Right. And they were just going by. And then it didn't have the great – it was a good recruiting class, but not the number one thing in the nation, whatever all those numbers provide. And mostly that's a lot of fodder for us to talk about. But this year, you can tell where Coach Saban has – changed tactics a little bit because they have really gone after some players and got, I think they already got about 18 or 19 commits and are number one in the country right now. But, you know, you never know how that plays out. But I think they just probably changed their tactics a little bit. And one of the things that I think that they did is they hired some really young, vivacious coaches that really are great recruiters. That's kind of what I've seen he's done at Alabama this year. So a lot of the kids being recruited are already lined up on the sheet, so it's kind of fun to watch.
And you also look at, speaking of coaching changes, Tyrone Prothrow leaves Spanish Fort and goes to Jasper, Alabama to become the receivers coach, and that's another transition in the coaching staff. And you also look at Brian Turner, former South Alabama defensive coordinator, filling in at Spanish Fort now, being part of Coach Ben Blackman's staff. That's another change. So, again, you know, coaches continuing to move and shuffle a deck here early July.
Yeah, you know, it can be a lot of late and some for some people. And at the same time, coaches got to look out for themselves. Nobody else is going to do it for you. You got to look out for yourself and do the best thing for what you feel like is best for you and your family. That's what it is. That's what it is. So, good luck to those guys in their new positions.
You're listening to the Prep Sports Report Radio Network right here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back with our Camp Gray segment.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty in for Rick Cleveland, who's on assignment. Mark Lassiter in the building with us. Dalton Norwig doing a wonderful job on the board. Philip has been taking your phone calls on the Premier Motorsports communication lines. And this segment is our favorite segment. It's the Camp Gray segment, and I'll let Coach Mark Lassiter take it away from here.
Thank you, buddy. I got a little story I'm going to read. It's called An Old Man Lived in the Village. And an old man lived in the village. He was one of the most unfortunate people in the world. The whole village was kind of tired of him. He was always gloomy, constantly complained, always in a bad mood. The longer he lived, the more vile he was, I would say. He was becoming more and more poisonous as his words just were always bad and derogatory. People often avoided him because misfortune became contagious. It was unnatural and insulting to be happy next to him. He created a feelings of unhappiness in other people. But one day, when he turned 80, an incredible thing happened. Instantly, everyone started hearing the rumor, "The old man is happy today. He doesn't complain about anything. He smiles. Even his face is freshened up." The whole village gathered together and got the old man to answer a question. "What happened to you?" The old man answered, "Nothing special, but for 80 years I've been chasing happiness, and it was useless. And then I decided to just live without happiness and enjoy life. And that's why I'm happy today." The story to me is that we don't want to chase happiness. You just enjoy the life that we have and enjoy each day as we wake up. Because if you chase it, there's a chase that you're never going to find it. You can't catch it. It's too fast. Because if you do something you think makes you happy, and it may make you happy for a little bit, there's something else that would make you happier. So you're sad because you don't have what would make you happier. And so you become aggravated. And you're always aggravated because you're chasing something that you cannot catch. Happiness is, to me, is when you just wake up and say, "This is the day that I've been given, and I can choose to do what I want to do with it, make it good or make it bad. And I'm going to follow the part that's going to make me happy, which is enjoying the fact, first of all, that I woke up. Second, I'm going to get to walk out of this door and affect things in this world that could be in a positive manner.
You hit the nail on the head, Coach. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And, you know, too many times we try to look ahead and chase that bigger dream, and nothing wrong with setting goals. I think there's a difference between setting goals and chasing dreams. You know, you don't want to sit there and continue to grasp for something that's out of your reach. And once you've obtained something, always want something greater. I'll give you a prime example of that in football terms. As Alabama fans, we wanted a winner so bad, and over this last decade, Nick Saban has brought dominance to the Alabama program, and now that he's won so much, we're just expecting that, and we're not happy enough. If we lose one game, that's not good enough, and we're chasing that perfection. But that's a great example right there, Coach, of just chasing it one day at a time and enjoying this day.
Absolutely. You know, I was reading something the other day that I think Bear Bryant said at one time, it said something about, if I looked in the mirror every morning and look at myself, if I was the last day of my life, what would I want to do? Or what would I want to do all day long today? And when I get in bed that night, did I live a life that would help someone, or did it hurt someone? And that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Well, I know, Corey, you just brought your Alabama fandom into question. As a Tennessee fan, I quit chasing happiness about 12 years ago, right around the time Alabama started beating them every year. But I think one of those things that can keep you in the present and keep your mind on enjoying whatever's happening to you, whether good or bad. Sometimes you have to live through those bad moments and just soak it in so those good moments feel even better. But something that I've started doing over the last couple years is really trying to think every day, at least cutting out a little bit of time and praying and saying what I'm thankful for and showing gratitude for the people that are in my lives, my good health, whatever it might be at that time, and even just saying it out loud. Of course, you probably think you're thinking about those people and thinking about all the great things in your life, but if you actually just sit down, write it down, say it out loud, it does a whole lot of difference to your daily life, and just being grateful for what you already have, that might make it a little bit easier to avoid chasing extra happiness.
Exactly.
I agree.
You know,
that's a great point.
I think it is a great point. And you know, if you do that, if you make a gratitude list, you know, I've done several in my life. I've written down, you know, if I start feeling bad, something's not right, I'm feeling edgy or whatever, then I've been told, I just follow instructions. I'm not real smart, but I follow instructions. And someone told me, just make a gratitude list.
Yeah.
And write down all the things you're grateful for. And it'll change your disposition. It'll change your feelings. And it'll make you a more pleasant, enjoyable person to be around that day. I think it's an important thing, Dawg. That's a good point.
So much to be thankful for each and every day. And I'm thankful to be in your presence, Coach, because we know exactly what happened on September 11th in your life. And again, you just take each and every day as a blessing, and you try not to look forward, and you enjoy the moment, Dawg. Like you just said, verbally express how grateful and how thankful you are for each and every blessing that is bestowed upon you. And I want to thank those who were on our show today. Mark Freeman taking the time out from his head coaching duties at Thompson High School, participating in the Foley 7-on-7 today. Mark Freeman joined us in the first hour. Ben Thomas talked on the St. Paul's injunction ruling that came out this week. Mike Sheradio from the ASBA softball staff. Christian Schwiers, the head coach at Huntsville High School. And Brett Pritchard from the AHSAA Radio Network. We're just thankful for all our guests that go ahead and just give us their input on this Prep Sports Report show.
Before we head out today, I did want to get with you two being Alabama guys. Get your, I guess, perspective on what do you think is going to happen with Tua's younger brother, Talia? Is that how you say it? Do you think he is a lock for Alabama, or do you think, I know he visited Tennessee over these last couple months, do you think he might start looking elsewhere to kind of set his own path?
I think he's a lock.
Okay.
But I think there's going to be a huge fight for that position, yeah, with
Jalen or just Paul Tyson.
I think when they come together, I mean, Tua will be a junior when Tua arrives. So if Tua's career goes kind of like the second half of the national championship game, if it continues on that pace, he may be gone. And if he's gone, then the freshman year will be the year that they back him up,
Which he can redshirt.
Yeah, he can redshirt, or they could play. It doesn't, you know, who knows? But it's going to be quite a – I don't see him leaving. I just don't. I think, you know, there's going to be a level of comfort there knowing they know what Alabama does. However, Jeremy Pruitt is one of the best recruiters in his country. And if anybody could steal one from Alabama, it might be Jeremy Pruitt.
I agree. Well, it's been an outstanding show, guys. And, Coach, we know you're going to be on assignment the next couple of weeks. We're going to miss you. Hope you enjoy the time you spend with your family. Just want to wish a happy 4th of July to everyone. Take care. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report and have listened to the Prep Sports Report this Saturday morning on FM Talk 106.5.